More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, baggage check. Are past hurts holding you back? Let us help you discover ways to lose that baggage and find the healing you're longing for. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to Life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, baggage check. Are you holding on to some old hurts? Or maybe those old hurts are holding you back? Either way, we want to help you discover ways to lose that luggage and find the healing you're longing for. 877-573-7825. And in talking about this, excuse me, I'm not just referring to things that have happened in the distant past, our childhood or old relationships, but, you know, even things that have happened in the more recent past, those arguments that you're having a hard time getting past, those small betrayals or even large betrayals that you've experienced in a relationship that you're not sure how to heal or move on from.
Even those little comments that can hurt us, that can shock us, that somebody we like or trusted said that to us? Oh my goodness, why would they do that to us? And then as we take that through our days, we kind of run it in our minds over and over again and wonder why they chose to say that and if they really do care about us and what we should do about it. And it can begin to grow in us and cause us a lot of pain, a lot of feeling disconcerted and not really trusting that relationship anymore. And that can all just really pile that pain on.
And of course, we see that a lot in adult relationships, but it can also happen in our parenting relationships with our younger kids. Mm. You know, when they do things that we weren't expecting, we were shocked that they might have said this thing or done that, act, or gotten into trouble in that particular way, and we don't know how to deal with it or how to recover from it. You know, the fact is, all of us experience these kinds of disappointments where we are expecting certain things from a particular person, and they don't live up to that. And sometimes we're the ones who don't live up to it.
Yeah, when you realize that you haven't, and then what do you do about it? You know, how do you get that person to hear you out or forgive you for that and prove that you didn't mean it? It was just, you know, a slip.
So those are the hurts that we all end up carrying around with us. Give us a call. We want to help you leave it behind and begin to heal. 877-573-7825.
Yes, when we don't address it, when we've been hurt by someone, our instinct, even our unrecognized instinct, says, I have to be aware of this hurt. I have to use my pain as a shield so I cannot be hurt again. But unfortunately, it's sort of like a shield made of a poison metal. And it seeps into us and it starts to deteriorate our sense of self, our confidence in ourselves, and our ability to be in relationship and trust those relationships with other people, not just this person who hurt us, but many other people, because we don't want to feel that hurt again. And we think that holding those past wounds up as a shield is protecting us from future hurt. But it's often wounding us more and eroding us more day by day. So if you're wondering how you get this in right order in your life, how you grow from your experiences, but grow in a way that's healing and holy and good for you, and perhaps even that other person, well, then give us a call today here on More to Life at 877-573-7825. 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Just call and tell us, are you hurt by the way someone treated you? You know, maybe it's a more recent hurt, as I was saying. Someone you care about said or did something you're having a hard time getting past. Or maybe you're carrying hurts from past relationships, or even your childhood that you'd like to figure out how to let go of. Do you wonder how you can heal if the person who hurt you is unwilling to take responsibility for what they did? Maybe you're not sure what the next steps toward healing look like. Well, let's figure it out together. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Today's show titled Baggage Check, as we help you heal from old hurts, whether they're hurts from the ancient past or hurts from the more recent past. The fact is, it's hard to get past them. 877-573-7825. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's Theology of the Body. And if you're wondering, you know, how could some theology help me leave behind old hurts? Well, it turns out it has a lot to say about that. So St. John Paul, when he was Pope, asked a huge question. Basically, he said, you know, if we take everything God's given us, creation, scripture, salvation, history, what universal principles could we discern about God's plan for leading a more abundant life and having healthier, holier relationships? And his answer to that question became what we now call the theology of the body.
And the theology of the body reminds us that we are not the sum of our hurts, all those hurts that we've accumulated along the way. That is certainly part of our story, but it is the part of the story that highlights what God wants to heal, not who we really are. We are the whole, healed, godly, grace-filled people that God sees when he looks at us through the eyes of a loving Father. He wants us to spend our life cooperating with his grace to become what we are.
Yeah, so if God doesn't want us to be defined by our old hurts, why do we hold on to them so tightly? I think there are two reasons. You know, first, we tend to forget that how we are hurt doesn't have to define who we are, as Lisa was just speaking to, which is why the theology of the body's reminder to look to our glorified self as inspiration, not the hurting fallen self, is so important. But second, holding on to old hurts is a way we try to keep ourselves safe. If we remember how much they hurt us, we can make sure that they don't hurt us that way again. Unfortunately, that ends up being a lie, because unless we heal the hurt, it tends to become our unconscious model for how we expect other people to treat us. The very thing we're trying to prevent becomes part of the blueprint we use to build other relationships.
But the theology of the body points to the fact that the only way to truly protect ourselves from old hurts, or repeating those old hurts in new relationships, is to allow God to heal them by reminding ourselves of who we really are, the whole, healed, godly, grace-filled people we were created to be, and asking God to help us take at least a tiny step every day toward becoming that person. We allow God to fulfill his plan in our lives.
So, every day, you know, you can start in a small way here. Start by praying, Lord, help me remember the whole, healed, grace-filled person you see when you look at me. And teach me to use the things I experience today to become a little bit more of that person. 877-573-7825, our show today titled Baggage Check. Are old hurts holding you back in some way? We want to help you discover ways to lose that luggage and find the healing you're looking for. 877-573-7825.
And I think that that one particular part of what I was saying matters more than we realize. Many of us would say, well, Craig and Lisa, I am praying all the time that God would heal this in me. Or I pray all the time that God heals this relationship. But are you asking him to help you take at least one tiny step every day? We want, oh gosh, don't we all want for God to just swoop in, reach into our chest, heal our broken heart, ease our troubled mind, and boom, we're healed. But we have to, as with everything, take those baby steps to grow into the person that God created us to be. We do it as babies physically, but we do it every day as adults when we're trying to cooperate with His grace. But we have to allow ourselves to ask God to help us to take those baby steps, show us what they are, and to hold our hands to walk with us while we do.
877-573-7825. Let us help you get past the old hurts that you are struggling with, whether they are more recent hurts or hurts from your ancient past. We want to help you begin to heal and experience the grace that God has for you so that you can become that whole, healed, godly, grace-filled person that you are. 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord. Start taking your questions in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come to you today and we bring you those hurts that are holding us back in our relationships, in our life. Whether those hurts are from recent offenses, the people in our life have done or said things that are hard to get past, or they're old hurts from our childhood or past relationships that continue to define us in some way or continue to impact our life and relationships in the present. Help us, Lord, to see ourselves not as the accumulation of all the hurts we've acquired along the way, but rather as the whole, healed, godly, grace-filled people you see when you look at us, and help us to become who we are by using all the things that happen every day as an opportunity to lean into that vision of ourselves and cooperate with your grace to become the people you created us to be. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father, the Son,
and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the show is titled Baggage Check, and we're talking about old wounds and leaving behind that luggage that we tend to carry around with us that makes it hard for us to receive the blessings that God wants to give us. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Julie, who's listening to EWTN Radio in St. Louis.
Julie, welcome to the show. What can we do for you today? Julie in St. Louis, what's your question?
Yeah, this topic, man, like, my husband and I found a wonderful new counselor, and we're just hitting a wall, partly my fault, too. And she's Christian, she prays with us and that kind of thing. But he just can't get out of that cycle. And I feel like we're both protecting ourselves. Neither one wants to go first. And I was asking the screener, I'm like, well, okay, so is there some concrete ideas that you guys can provide that that breach that gap, that break the cycle of no one wanting to go first and risk, like, humility or risk being hurt again? But it's enough that it makes a difference, like a safe thing that we can try that, you know, that can breach the gap of not communicating of just holding on to those hurts. Like, because I know I'm guilty of it. I'll be like, well, when I was sick, you did this and blah, 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 you know. And it just creates the cycle and, like, that we just aren't breaking out of.
And Julie, are you doing this even when you're in session with your counselor, when she's there? And so it's not just
it's
at home
difficult.
Where your walls go up.
Yes.
Even in a setting where she should be able to facilitate you feeling a little bit safer, you still find yourself in that pattern that's just stuck there.
And what does she suggest that you do in those times?
She basically sat there and says, I don't know how I'm going to help you guys.
Well, that's not good.
Because
I know. I don't know anything about your counselor's credentials. And maybe there's more going on there. This is why it's important to work with somebody who's trained in marriage and family work. There are a lot of individual counselors who will say they work with couples, but they can be out of their depth. And without that specific training, the success rate for individual counselors who work with couples tends to be around 30%. The success rate for counselors who have done specific training and supervision in marriage and family work, much higher, 85% plus.
So you may want to ask her.
Ask her what her training is. And if she's not giving you tools, it's true for anybody, if a counselor isn't giving you tools to do things to address the specific problems you're bringing to session, then you first address those concerns directly with the counselor, say, I need tools. And if they're still not able to give them to you, then it's time to find another counselor. In terms of, you know, what you can do, there are several things that I'd suggest to you. First of all, we talk about a lot of these in our book, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love, which can be a resource to supplement the work that you're trying to do in counseling. But the first thing is, you're reacting to each other because you are in your more limbic emotional brain as opposed to your thinking brain, and you're falling into this sort of lecturing persona mindset where, you know, I'm going to tell you what you did wrong, and I'm going to helpfully explain why you're wrong, and you should sit there in your wrongness and be wrong, right? And so we start reacting off of each other then. What that means is I've got my eye so much on what the other person's going to do that I can't pay attention to me at all. And the first step in any kind of relationship counseling, if it's going to be successful, is helping the people focus on themselves. Yeah, okay, yes, that is true. That person did that thing to me. How do I need to respond to that in a way that would be healthy, in a way that would be appropriate? How do I respond to it in a way that displays empathy for the way the other person behaved? Because here's the thing, neither one of you, neither you nor your husband, did whatever they do because they want to be offensive. They're trying to meet a need. They're trying to express an intention or a need. They did it in a poor way, in a hurtful way, but there was something there. And until we can get ourselves to a place where I can empathize with the other person and see that they're not some evil jerk who's out to get me every day, but rather they're trying to meet needs and they don't know how to communicate those needs to me in a healthy way. So I want to step back, and instead of saying, how dare you treat me that way, it's, hey, look, what are you trying to do? Can we work together to figure out how to handle that better next time? Hey, what need were you trying to meet? Could we try to come up with a plan where we could feel supported by each other instead of attacking each other? Do you see the difference? You're not denying the offense. You're not saying that the other person didn't hurt you. You're saying, yeah, that this really stunk, right? But could we approach me? But I understand that you didn't try to hurt me. That wasn't your intention. You didn't wake up in the morning plotting against me. You were trying to do something good. Somehow that got messed up along the way. What were you trying to accomplish, and how can we work together to find better ways to meet that need next time? Now, again, we talk about this whole process in How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. This is the kind of thing, though, that a trained marriage or family counselor ought to be able to walk you through. So I'd like you to bring this stuff to the counselor you're working with right now and really ask for tools, you know, because it's not a matter of, you shouldn't, you know, it happens often where couples will come in and they'll argue in front of the counselor, but the counselor needs to have tools to give them. So challenge her on that front. And if not, then it's time to seek somebody who has the skills and the training to support you guys. And again, check out How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love for more tips along the lines of what I'm suggesting. Thank you so much for the call. And if there's more that we can do to support you, CatholicCounselors.com is a resource that we have for you as well. We have to go to break. When we come back, we're continuing to take your calls on healing old hurts on our show titled Baggage Check. Are past hurts holding you back in some way? I mean, they could be hurts from your recent past, where someone in your life did or said something that's hard to get past. Could be from relationships past or even your childhood that you see still continuing to affect you and you're not sure how to move past. Let's talk it out and begin to experience the healing that God has for you. 877-573-7825. When we come back, more with your calls. Plus, we'll be joined by Jacob Flores Popchak, a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com, who'll be sharing some insights that he passes on to his clients who are struggling with old hurts. Stick around for that and a whole lot more.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
He is only one of four popes honored as the great.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Leo I was pope at a time when Roman civilization was being overrun by barbarian armies. He stood as a light in the darkness and even saved the city of Rome from destruction by Attila and the Huns. Leo died in 461.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, Baggage Check, as we talk about the ways old hurts are holding us back. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Jacob Flores Popchak. He's a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com. He is a published author and illustrator and expert on practical applications of the theology of the body. Jacob, welcome to More to Life.
I appreciate being here.
So, you know, dealing with old hurts is kind of our stock in trade at CatholicCounselors.com, and you help a lot of clients begin to move past some of those hurts. Where do you start?
Well, the first thing I start off with in my process is just double-checking if it makes sense for them to move on, and also what they mean by moving on, right? I think we as therapists, we as pastoral counselors, we often have a distinct sense of what it would mean to move on in a healthy way, what you guys are talking about today, versus the ideas that a lot of people have, right? A lot of people think, I should just not be in this pain anymore. I should just not suffer anymore. I should be able to sort of brush this off, pull myself up by my bootstraps, and essentially ignore what's happened to me. And that's bad for two reasons. One, sometimes the hurt is not over. Like sometimes, as you guys often talk about in this program, that person is still actively hurting you, and it is not a good idea to just repress those feelings, right? Those feelings are the Holy Spirit communicating through you to try to encourage you to stand up for yourself, to be assertive, and to work for the good of the person who is hurting you by preventing them from sinning any further by hurting you more. The other reason is because, you know, broadly speaking, even if the hurt is very, very old, sometimes God is still trying to talk through that feeling. So the very first thing that I say is, hey, when we discuss moving on, what we mean here as pastoral counselors is discovering the particular healing and the particular virtues Christ is calling to and calling you to through this hurt, and specifically the ways in which Christ wants to draw closer to you through this hurt. That's kind of the mystical and ultimately empowering approach to this, as opposed to just sort of brushing it off. What I would say, though, in regards to then the next step of that process, and this is something very, very simple that listeners can do even today with some old hurt that remains unpacked. So often we define a hurt by the deficits it's left us with, like, because this thing happened to me, I'm sad all the time, or because this thing happened to me, I missed out on this opportunity in my life, right? We define these hurts by their deficits in the power that we give them over us, right? So what I encourage clients to do is to sit down, just take a piece of paper and fold it in half, right? Make it so that there's kind of two columns. And in the first column, I just want you to write down all of the virtues or characteristics, positive, that you feel like you've grown in as a result of that hurt, right? Have you become a stronger person as the result of that hurt? Have you become a wiser or keener person as the result of that hurt? Have you perhaps made other friends, right, as the result of that hurt, like with other people who are maybe hurt the same way, right? These don't just have to be sort of lofty virtues. These can also be, you know, seemingly more quote-unquote shallow things, like friendships that have grown, because that's not insignificant in the plan of God. So write down as many of those as you can think of, right? And there will be some that you go, I don't know if this is the case. Let yourself take the risk and write it down. Right? In the other column, I would suggest then that you write, what are the virtues that I still want to grow in regards to this hurt? Now, again, we want to be careful here. Forgiveness is not just merely repressing the feeling, as you guys often talk about, right? Moving past it doesn't mean maybe not feeling the pain anymore, but it does mean being empowered over that pain. It does mean feeling like you're holding hands with Jesus in regards to that pain and you're confident in it. So in this column, writing down what specific values or characteristics or qualities would I have to grow to feel more like that with Christ? Once you have these two columns, you have a way to approach the hurt that is kind of newer and more positive because you're able to see how far you've already come, and you're able to start to build a roadmap for where else you want to go besides just, quote unquote, not feeling it anymore.
And I think that being able to see it in that lens allows you to see how God is already working in you to heal you and to see where you want to go from here and what those next steps might be. So it ends up being a very practical approach to identifying, like you said, what does healing actually look like in those situations?
Yeah, absolutely. Because again, you know, too often I think we've been given a kind of secular idea of healing where we just won't feel our feelings anymore. But I always point my clients to the story, you know, of Christ's resurrection, where his wounds aren't gone, but they no longer seemingly cause him pain, and he's able to use them for the sake of relationships, specifically to allow Thomas to bond with him. And we can use our wounds the same way, to bond with Christ.
Amen. Jacob, thank you so much for being with us. It's always a pleasure talking with you. And if folks would like to learn more about your good work, I encourage them to go to CatholicCounselors.com to learn more about the Pastoral Solutions Institute's Pastoral Telecounseling Practice. And we're taking your calls right now, listeners, about leaving behind old hurts on our show titled Baggage Check, 877-573-7825. Back after this.
What are we asking God the Father when in the Lord's Prayer we plead, Thy kingdom come? The Catholic Catechism states the kingdom of God lies ahead of us. It is brought near in the Word incarnate, Jesus Christ. It is proclaimed throughout the whole gospel. In Christ's death and resurrection, it has come, in the Eucharist. It is actually in our midst. When Christ hands it over to the Father, the kingdom will come in glory. St. Cyprian speculates the kingdom of God may even mean Christ himself coming into our lives. In the context of the Lord's Prayer, Thy kingdom come is referring primarily to the final coming of the reign of God through Christ's return. Since Pentecost, the coming of God's reign is the work of the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. The end times in which we are living is the age of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
The Catholic Church teaches that Jesus Christ is literally and wholly present, body and blood, soul and divinity, under the appearances of bread and wine. Feeding 5,000 from a boy's 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, as recorded in John chapter 6, is quite a miracle. Yet the next day, Jesus downplays it in verse 27. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. Likewise, God's provision of manna to the Israelites in the desert was also a great miracle, yet Jesus similarly downplays it in verse 49. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, but they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. Jesus is clearly stating that his Eucharist is greater than both of these amazing miracles, and the Catholic Church absolutely takes him at his word. Examining the truths of the Catholic faith, this is faithforensics.org.
Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. You know what most people do when they're burned out? They try to power through. Or they try to escape. More coffee, more distractions, more me time that never quite refills the tank. In my book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, I explain that when stress overtakes us, the answer isn't controlling our circumstances. It's learning to regulate our internal response so we can stay connected to God, to our best selves, and to the people who love us. Think of it like a phone that won't charge. You know, you can keep plugging it in, but if the charging port is full of lint, nothing gets through. Burnout clogs our spiritual and our emotional connections in the same way. The path back starts with clearing those connections, taking small intentional steps to re-engage with the meaning behind what we do. remembering how we're blessing the people in our lives with what we do, and bringing a little more of ourselves to the task. For more tips on reclaiming your peace, see Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, the show is titled Baggage Check, as we talk about healing from old hurts. Now, those hurts could be in your recent past, something that happened last week, month ago, you know, whatever, and that person did or said something that you're just not sure how to get past. Or it could be an old relationship or even from childhood where you notice that there's something that's still affecting you and causing you to stumble where you want to be able to walk more confidently. Let us help you heal those hurts and begin to walk toward that wholeness that God is calling us all to. 877-573-7825.
Well, Greg, we have a very important email that came in at questions@moretoliferadio.com from a listener who'd like to remain anonymous. She said, I don't know how to move on and forgive my husband, who has cheated on me in more ways than one in the past and has always lied about it. He will not admit it, but cries and says he's sorry for, and this is in big letters, everything when confronted. I know he regrets it, but honesty is everything to me because of childhood trauma. I've been hurt by my parents and others in terrible ways that I prefer not to mention on the air. My counselor suggests me forgiving him without him telling me about the affairs. I don't know how or if I should do it because I just don't believe anything he says. Clearly, I do not trust him. And that's from an anonymous listener.
So let's talk about what forgiveness means here, because we're talking about two different things. You're using the word forgiveness, but you're really talking about reconciliation.
Because you're saying you don't trust him anymore. So that's the step into reconciliation.
Yeah, and so forgiveness means, and this is both St. Augustine and St. John Paul, I could pull quotes from both of them on the same idea, that forgiveness is just surrendering your desire and your right, natural right, to hurt someone for having hurt you. And when I say it's a right, I don't mean that you should do it. I mean that we have this sort of natural sense that I have a right to hurt you for having hurt me. I mean, when I forgive somebody, I give that up. I'm not going to hurt you for having hurt me. Now, that doesn't mean I'm not going to hold you accountable for what you did, because in fact, holding you accountable, even though you act hurt, is actually healing. Because by insisting that you face what you've done, that's how you learn from your mistake and you become a better person. So holding you accountable for actions you've committed against me or anybody else for that matter is not an unforgiving thing to do. It is part of loving somebody. If I love somebody, that means I work for their good. So working for someone's good means saying, hey, I want you to at least learn from your mistakes. If you can't avoid them, let's learn from them and figure out how to do better next time. And so even though when I hold somebody accountable for what they did to me, they act hurt and they act like I'm hurting them, I'm not actually hurting them. Those are growing pains. That's different from me smacking somebody over the head, right? An injury is whenever I tear someone down. But a growing pain is when I say, hey, let's do this thing. And that I know that's hard for you, but I'll be here and I'll support you in it. But you need to face this and you need to heal. So forgiving your husband means I'm not going to hurt him for having hurt me. I'm not going to go out and cheat myself, or I'm not going to, you know, do something that I know would really tear him down. But I am going to insist that he face what he did and do the work he needs to do to heal. That's what reconciliation requires. So you can forgive him without necessarily him telling you what he did, or you without, reconciling with him even, because forgiveness just means, you know, I'm not going to hurt him for having hurt me. I'm not going to go out of my way to tear him down or say bad things about him or
hit him with a truck.
Whatever it is.
Whatever it is that your visceral self would love to be able to do.
But you can't reconcile with somebody who's not willing to take responsibility for what they did, because they're not trustworthy, and you're setting yourself up to be hurt in the same way, and you're setting him up to sin the same way.
And I want you to say that one more time, because that's vital. to hear.
Yeah, when we just say, okay, you know what, I'm going to reconcile with you, even though you haven't taken responsibility for what you've done.
Because we think, oh, well, if we just reconcile with them, then somehow that's forgiveness and that invites them to healing. No.
No, it just magically makes the thing go, allegedly makes the thing go away.
And almost gives them permission.
And they don't have to face what they did. They don't have to learn from their mistake. They don't get any new skills. They have no new insights. They just get out of trouble.
They haven't grown in any virtue. They're not making an attempt to, so they're going to... It's actually inviting them to sin again, or at least into a near occasion of sin, because they have not actively confessed this to you in this particular situation in the sacrament and come up with a plan to heal so that this doesn't happen again.
So, practically speaking, you can forgive him in the sense that you're going to say, I'm not going to hurt him for having hurt me, but you also can't reconcile with him unless he accepts responsibility for what he did and say, look, I want to heal, and here's what I am doing to heal to make sure that I don't hurt you the same way. So I would recommend that you speak with your counselor about what forgiveness really means in this situation, and secondly, how do you hold him accountable in healthy ways? Because it's possible to just sort of maintain a status quo kind of Cold War dynamic in your relationship where we don't ever talk about it. I don't really hold him accountable in the sense that I'm actively setting boundaries or actively challenging him to do something. I just avoid him. And that's not healthy for you or for him. There needs to be some kind of active engagement of the offense and ongoing insistence that he face what he did and learn from it. But since you're working with a counselor already, I want to support that relationship and encourage you to talk to that person about what that would look like. That said, you know, I want to make sure that you understand that there's a difference between forgiveness and reconciliation, and you can forgive somebody but not be reconciled to them, and that it's not hurting someone to hold them accountable. In fact, you know, whenever I share this with Catholics, they often say, well, what about confession? You know, we commit this sin and we go and we, you know, we get healed and then that's it. We say, you know, five Hail Marys and we're done, or whatever the penance might be. A lot of people don't realize that, yes, when we confess our sins, God forgives us of the spiritual consequences of those sins. Our relationship with God is healed. But we are still responsible for the temporal consequences of our sin. So, for example, if I say something awful to Lisa and I go confess it, you know, God forgives me and my relationship with God is improved and the grace that God gives me to then work to heal my relationship with Lisa is present in ways that it wasn't before. But I still need to go home and say I'm sorry to her and talk about how we're going to make sure that that doesn't happen again. And if I don't do that, that's what purgatory is about. Purgatory is about the time it takes, essentially, there's no time there, but the time it takes to heal the damage that my sins have done to the body of Christ, that I have not cooperated with God's grace to heal in my lifetime. So even the church, even God, holds us accountable for doing the work of reconciliation, even after confession. So it's not that the church is presenting this kind of get out of sin free card or get out of hell free card. There's still work that needs to be done in order for us to completely heal beyond the spiritual healing that occurs from confession.
And as I'm praying for you, dear listener, the pain that you are going through is so palpable to me. I want you to ask God to help you take all that you have learned from being hurt in the past, especially by your parents, that has allowed you to say, honesty means so much to you because you've been lied to and hurt and you will not tolerate it. That is wonderful. That is a strength. Ask him to use that strength that he has allowed you to have, because other people go through the same thing and respond differently. They just decide they're not worth people being honest to them. They wall themselves off completely and never even try to have another relationship. But you are trying to have relationships with this requirement that people are honest with you. That is a righteous desire to have. The next baby step here, as we were talking about at the beginning of the show, is to say, Lord, how do I use this strength you have given me so that I can require certain things that I need from him, so that he is actively pursuing healing, and the strength you've given me in this helps me to heal step by step. Help me to walk through this. Help me to talk to you about it multiple times a day so I'm on track with you. Help me to grow through this in healing. And thank you for what I've learned from the past so I can be strong enough to do this. Because you're showing a great deal of strength in saying, I know what I require from somebody. And honesty is sort of my baseline.
But the way forward is learning to set more effective boundaries that really force the issue and require him to acknowledge what he did and do something to heal the damage that his actions have caused. And so I want you to work with your counselor to identify what those boundaries would be. But thank you so much for the question. And if there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. You can also learn more about all of this in our book, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love, which really talks through a lot of the things that we've outlined here in the call. And we are taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. Are you hurt by the way someone treated you, either in the recent past or the distant past? Whether it's something that happened more recently or something that happened a while ago, if you want to discover ways to heal and leave those hurts behind, give us a call at 877-573-7825. As we head to our break, we want to make sure that we are sending out EWTN Radio affiliate KXYM 98.9 FM, serving Belcourt, North Dakota, partnering with us for 11 years. Congratulations to everyone at St. Anne's Indian Mission, Two Hearts Radio, from all of us here at EWTN. And wherever you are tuning in to EWTN Radio, make sure that you're supporting your local EWTN Catholic radio station. With that, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14.
Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal.
This is St. Paul, and of course, he's not saying that we pretend that things didn't happen to us. When he talks about forgetting what lies behind, he's not saying, I don't acknowledge the things that have happened to me. What he's talking about is focus. What do we focus on? You know, and he's saying, as Christians, we recognize that God is making us new, that he is creating something new in us, and we want to strain forward into that image of who we are. It's the same thing that St. John Paul talks about that we were sharing earlier in our Theology of the Body reflection, that our hurts, and our sins are certainly part of our story, but they're the part of the story that talks about what God wants to heal, not the part of the story that defines who we are. And so we lean into that vision of that whole healed, godly, grace-filled self, so that every day we can use the experiences of that day to become a little bit more of who we already are, that beloved son or daughter of God, that whole healed, godly, grace-filled person. We're taking your calls right now at 877-573-7825. We're talking about old hurts on our show titled Baggage Check. Let's talk it out and find those ways to leave those hurts behind and receive the healing God has for you. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls right after this.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Strained or broken relationships are a given in most of our lives. Friends fall away, siblings drift apart, children sever ties with their parents, and despite our best efforts, these painful fissures are difficult to mend. Hi, I'm Dr. Ray. If you want to learn how to communicate better with the difficult people in your life and be a more easygoing, more forgiving person, check out my book, How to Get Along with Almost Everybody. Check it out. And all my other books on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
Hi, this is Father Mike Schmitz. I invite you to listen to Bible in a Year and Catechism in a Year here on EWTN Radio. On Bible in a Year, we're reading all the way from Genesis through Revelation, plus time for explanations and reflections to help us go deeper into God's Word, encounter His voice, and learn how to live life through the lens of Scripture.
Bible in a Year and Catechism in a Year with Father Mike Schmitz. Tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on EWTN Radio.
Are you struggling with a persistent emotional or relationship problem? Maybe those thoughts and feelings won't leave you alone, or your marriage has grown distant, or a wound from your past still aches. Too many of us tell us that we should be able to handle it alone, or that good Catholics shouldn't need help. That's not true. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, founder of CatholicCounselors.com. My team of pastoral counselors will help you find solutions rooted in solid psychology and our Catholic faith, so you don't have to choose between getting real help and staying true to what you believe. Visit CatholicCounselors.com and discover how we can help your faith, life, and relationships flourish. Want more tips for living an abundant life through the theology of the body? Follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Instagram at Catholic Counselors.
More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, the show is titled Baggage Check, as we talk about how old hurts can hold us back and what it takes to heal. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Alyssa, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Nebraska.
On Spirit Catholic Radio. Hey, Alyssa, welcome to the show. What's up?
Hi. So my issue is with my daughter. She's just turned 18, so she's an adult, but we've struggled our entire relationship with, I would say, more reconciliation now that you talked to that spouse about her husband cheating. But this is with my daughter because I don't know how to reconcile and move on to have a healthy relationship with her when she won't take accountability for the things she does because she just says that she doesn't do anything wrong. So when she does
like
hurt
what?
Me,
what are we talking about?
It's some of these are going to sound so trivial, but it's just cumulative over, 18 years of her life. But like the most recent example was that she was supposed to, we were supposed to go shopping for her graduation, high school graduation outfit, like one weekend. And like, I was really looking forward to it because I want to have a healthy relationship and spend time with her. And it was like the day of, and she's like, I'm not going with you. Like, I'm just going to wear something in my closet. And I'm like, well, this is like the only weekend you have free, like before. And she's like, well, why would I want to spend my only free weekend with you? And so it's just remarks
so,
like that.
Alyssa, and you're saying that this has been your whole relationship.
Pretty much.
Yeah. So I guess I'm going to have to gently kind of challenge you on this because, you're the mom, right? And it's our job as the parent to teach our kids how to express themselves appropriately, how to deal with things. What you're doing is you're setting your daughter up to take care of you, to take care of your feelings. And the fact that you say that this has been the relationship all along says that this is a pattern that has been established since this, your daughter was little. And we can get into that place where, we see, oh, well, I did this thing for my child, and so they owe me perfect behavior. And if they're not perfect, then I act hurt. Like, well, they were supposed to be taking care of me. And it creates a really unhealthy dynamic in the relationship where I'm setting up my child to be my parent.
We don't mean to. But we are kind of programmed to think, if I do X, they should do Y. And if they don't, it's a betrayal. And then we start to get hurt, and we begin to let the whole thing degrade over, as you said, 18 years of her life, which is her whole life.
I mean, it might even be different if you'd said, okay, we had a great relationship, and there's this one big thing that she did that she's not taking responsibility for. But you're saying that their whole relationship has been like this, which says that it's not been a parent-child relationship, at least where you've been her mom. It's a parent-child relationship where you're expecting her to be your mom and heal hurts in you. And so, for example, if you could be that adult self person and be in the mom position when your daughter said to you, why would I want to spend the weekend with you? The appropriate response from you would be to say, hey, listen, I understand that you're really hurt and you're really upset, you're really angry about something, and I want to talk to you about what that is. But you can't talk to me like that. So can we try that again? What's going on? Help me understand what you're upset about, and let's work through that together. Do you see the difference between what I'm describing here and what you described to me? Okay, the position that you took was, wait a minute, you know, she hurt me, and now she needs to, you know, crawl over broken glass to prove to me that she's sorry, and she's not willing to do that. And why isn't she willing to do that? Well, because what she's trying to say to you, Alyssa, is, Mom, I'm hurting, and I'm upset, and you always make it about you. You never take the time to really understand what I'm trying to say and why I'm hurt, and teach me how to express it appropriately. I'm not saying that what she's doing is okay. I'm saying that it's your job to teach her how to express her feelings in a way that's appropriate, and I'm not sure that you know either. And so if that's the case, then that's where you need to get help to learn that, so that you can be that healthy, godly woman that you're called to be and be her mom instead of putting her in the position of taking care of your feelings all the time. Because our kids make mistakes. That's part of the job description of being a kid. They do things that are dumb and hurtful and selfish, and we have to be grown up enough to teach them how to meet their needs in healthy ways. That, again, that doesn't make their behavior okay. It means that we approach them and say, okay, what were you trying to do? Here's how you can do it appropriately. Now let's practice that. And your tendency has been to respond to the things that she's done or said that have been hurtful to you, not in a helpful way, but in a way that says, okay, now you have to make me feel better. And it ends up, again, making it all about you. And then you haven't meant to be that, but there's a long history there where you see her as the offender. And really, it's you not showing up for your job.
But you didn't know your job. I guarantee nobody taught you that when you have a child, every single skill, including their emotional and spiritual skills, have to be taught step by step. And when they're not doing something right, we teach them how to do it right, and we practice it with them. And then they grow up to be people in what St. John Paul II called a mutually self-donative relationship, where she's growing into an adulthood where she can be self-donative and loving and respectful and caring. And you weren't taught that. A lot of people weren't. And we buy this scenario that the world tells us is, well, they'll just grow into it. They don't have these skills at 2, but by 4, they'll be this. They don't have these skills at 4, but by 8, they'll be this. No, they won't if they're not taught how to have these skills. Now, she's 18.
And if we're not teaching them.
Exactly. We have to be, you know, Catechism says we're the first teachers of our children. That means we're the primary teachers in all things. She's 18. She doesn't have the skills she needs. But she does have more cognitive ability. So now is the time to start saying, hey, this is how I want to have a relationship with you.
So what I want you to do, this last thing, all right, is go back to her and say, listen, I understand you're trying to tell me that you were hurt by something, that you were frustrated and that you were angry. I was really hurt by the way you expressed that, but let's figure out, but I want to understand, what was it you were trying to tell me? What were you upset about? And how could we work together to make sure that doesn't happen again? You know, so the next time something like this comes up, we can work together to handle it better. Now, that's going to be a big job, right? Because that breaks a pattern that you've had with your daughter for 18 years.
And also with your internal self.
So I'm going to encourage you to reach out at CatholicCounselors.com to get some support for learning how to be more of this kind of person that I'm describing and cultivate the kind of relationship that you're wanting from your daughter. Because you've set up this situation where anytime she commits an offense, rather than being able to expect you to help her learn how to handle it appropriately, you make it about her needing to take care of you emotionally.
Because you're genuinely hurt and you have never been taught what else to do. But you can be taught what else to do. She can be taught how to do it differently, and it can transform your entire relationship. So if you want to feel better about the relationship, if you want to heal, if you want to have a close relationship with her from here and into the future, this is the way to do it.
Thank you so much for the question. I know this was hard to hear, but I appreciate you being willing to kind of take it and sit with it in prayer. And if you're open to receiving the help, I'd really encourage you to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We'd like to help you get there. As we kind of wrap up the program, and we're kind of focusing more on this idea of leaving behind past hurts, I want to be clear that this does not mean pretending that things didn't happen. In fact, even the Catechism, you can look it up yourself, 2843 in the Catechism, talks about how it is not within our power to forget or not feel an offense. But it goes on to say that when we bring those hurts to the Holy Spirit, He can help us to transform them into basically productive ways to heal ourselves and, when possible, the relationship. So healing those old hurts doesn't mean pretending that everything's okay and going back and saying, okay, well, you know, that person can keep hurting me again. Even Pope Leo this past week in Spain was talking with somebody who was asking, you know, how can I reconcile with my father who committed horrible acts against me and my mother? And Pope Leo even talked about how forgiving doesn't mean putting ourselves in harm's way. So leaving behind old hurts doesn't mean taking it back to the way things were necessarily before the hurt. It means learning from those hurts. What do I need to learn in order to be that whole, healed, godly, grace-filled person? And what do I need to do to hold the person who hurt me accountable in ways that allow them to grow and heal? Not in ways that tear them down, but in ways that invite them to do better. And the more we're able to do that, the more we are able to grow in ways that God is calling us to grow and make our relationships healthier as well.